TUC Radio San Francisco, Time of Useful Consciousness, Charles Kernighan on Sweatshops in Nicaragua. Have you ever wondered how much a young woman in Central America gets paid to sew a pair of jeans? In the free trade zone near the Managua Airport in Nicaragua, they make just 20 cents. These sweatshop operators down there, as well as the retailers here in the U.S., show huge profits. Even a small company called Kohl, according to the research of Charles Kernighan's National Labor Committee, had $4.6 billion in sales last year, and its CEO paid himself $38 million for 1999. But when the workers at the Nicaraguan plant that sews for Kohl asked to be paid just 8 cents more per pair of jeans, over 500 of them were fired. Here is their story, told to me in early September 2000 in New York. Charles Kernighan, the director of the National Labor Committee, is undisputedly the respected, passionate, and tireless advocate for thousands of young women. They work in slave-like conditions in Burma, Indonesia, China, or Central America. We were sitting at a large table covered with custom forms, pairs of jeans, press materials, and photos taken in the maquiladora. Here is Charles Kernighan.
We got a call from Nicaragua on Memorial Day weekend, and they said, we're under siege. Could you please come down here? And we went down to Nicaragua, and sure enough, the union movement in Nicaragua, in the assembly sector, in the maquila, was being wiped out in broad daylight. So that over the last roughly like 6 months, six unions had been destroyed in these assembly factories. And the largest and strongest union in the country within this free trade zone in the assembly sector was a factory called Chentex, which was a Taiwanese-owned factory in Nicaragua producing jeans for Kohl's and for Target and Walmart and JCPenney and Bugle Boy and Gloria Vanderbilt and Kmart. It's a big factory. It's 1,850 workers. It was the strongest union in the maquila. In fact, it's the strongest union I've ever seen in Central America or Latin America. And in broad daylight, hundreds of workers have been fired. The estimate is maybe 600 to 700 workers were fired. The union leaders, all 11 union leaders, were fired. And the company brought bogus criminal charges against them. Illicit association to commit a crime. In other words, to belong to a union is an illicit association to create a crime. Property damage, impediment of commerce, all of this kinds of stuff. These trumped up charges could actually land these union leaders in prison for 7 to 20 years. The factory put barbed wire up around the plant. They installed surveillance cameras. They formed a company union. And then they turned, this is a Taiwanese company, and I'll get a little more into that. The Taiwanese company, Chentex, then turned to the government of Nicaragua and said, if you don't let us fire these workers, we're going to pull out of the country. In other words, the ultimate a blackmail, you put the gun to the head of a poor developing country and say, if you get in our way, we're taking the jobs out of Nicaragua. Not only Chentex, not only this giant factory, but all the other Taiwanese investments in Nicaragua. Now I'm going to back up for a second. The reason the workers were fired was because they asked for an 8-cent wage increase. The workers get paid 20 cents for every pair of jeans they make. So, for example, a pair of Cherokee jeans, which I'm holding in my hand right now. These Cherokee jeans we purchased in Target. The jeans sell for $21.99. Target is, you know, like Walmart. It's a real discounter. Well, the workers, and this is the first time I've seen this, the workers smuggled out of the factory their piece rates. And when you add it up, this is for the Cherokee jeans, you add it up, it comes to 2.574 cordobas. Now, the exchange rate is 12.774 cordobas to the dollar. There is less than 20 cents of labor in these pants. So it's not abstract. It's not theory. This is the company document. Now I want to show you something else. These are U.S. Customs documents. These pants are shipped from the Chentex factory in Nicaragua to Kohl's. You'll see they come in through the Port of Miami, and you'll see that this was shipped in May. Now, you'll see the pants that were shipped have an identification number, YB2130. Well, we've tracked it back to that very pair of pants. Here's the identification number. So we know from this customs form that when these pants arrive in the United States, the total value is $7.15. Material, labor, profit to the Chentex, Taiwanese-owned company, shipping costs, everything, $7.15. Look at the price, $30. In other words, Kohl's is marking it up 420% upon its arrival in the United States. All right, that sets the scene. Now we go back. Why were the workers fired? The workers asked for an 8-cent wage increase in sewing the jeans. Rather than 20 cents to sew the jeans, they were asking for 28 cents to sew the jeans. And that was only a negotiating position. In other words, maybe they would take 4 cents. Maybe they take 6 cents. But for an 8-cent negotiating position, the response of the Chentex factory, with a nod of approval from Kohl's and these other retails, was, like I said, to fire up to 700 workers. Every union member, everyone even related or friends with a union person, was fired. The company said to the workers, your union's dead, you'll never get a wage increase from us, and then they blackmailed the government. Now we have to back up a tiny bit. Chentex is part of a Taiwanese conglomerate called Ningxing, which has 3 factories in Nicaragua. They have 3 factories in Mexico. They're a jeans manufacturer. So they got 3 factories in Mexico, 3 factories in Nicaragua, a factory in Lesotho, Africa, and they're building a free trade zone in Zimbabwe right now. They're planning to do it. So this company itself is sort of a significant transnational corporation. Taiwan has an enormous influence in Nicaragua. People will be shocked to know this. The Taiwanese government has paid for the presidential palace in Nicaragua. The Taiwanese government has built the Ministry of Labor in Nicaragua. The Taiwanese government is at this minute building the foreign ministry in Nicaragua, and the Taiwanese government refurbished and rebuilt the National Assembly of the Parliament, or the Congress. So here you have Taiwan's flag and signs flying all over the place. And I'm only saying that because they have an enormous influence over the government of Nicaragua. But what's going on in tiny Nicaragua is the human face of the global economy like I've never seen it before. And it's not pretty. It's really ugly and it's vicious. And so what we see is that when workers who are in the global economy, who are producing for the biggest retailers in the world, for Kohl's and Target and Kmart, Walmart, when the workers ask for a tiny 8-cent wage increase so they could climb out of misery and at least into poverty, that they get smashed in broad daylight, smashed and crushed. And by the way, we should situate this. Kohl's is an up-and-coming retailer. Last year, their profits were up 34%. They made $258 million, clear. The chairman of the board of Kohl's, this guy, Mr. Kellogg, who started out as a working-class person in Milwaukee, paid himself $38 million last year with stock options and wages. So the chairman of the board of Kohl's can pay himself $38 million, and yet there's not 8 cents for the workers. Kohl's can make $258 million in profit last year, but there's not 8 cents for the workers in Nicaragua and their families. Ningxing, the Taiwanese company that owns the Chentex factory, their profits were $47 million last year, but yet there's not 8 cents for the workers. Kohl's can mark up the pants 420%, but there's not 8 cents for the workers. In other words, what we're seeing in Nicaragua is the global economy and how it actually works. It even gets worse. Kohl's turned around and hired PricewaterhouseCoopers to monitor the factory. In other words, what do the companies do when they're under attack? They turned to another multinational company, like Pricewaterhouse, the big of the big six accounting firms, and says, will you monitor our factory for us? So Pricewaterhouse goes to Nicaragua, and they come out and say, everything's fine. You know how they got their information? They interviewed the company union that was formed after the real union was destroyed. So Pricewaterhouse goes down to do an investigation, and they sit in the factory on their butts, and they sit down with the company union, and they tell us what happened here. And the company union says, well, there was never any union here. It was illegal. And it was just a bunch of 12 people who were troublemakers, and they brought in gang members to threaten the rest of us. And Pricewaterhouse reports that all back. And Cole says, there are no problems in Nicaragua. So, again, we see the global economy. And so what's been missing a lot in this discussion of the global economy is what direction is going to be taken by the workers on the ground in these countries. So, in fact, what has happened is these 600 and 700 workers and all of the union leaders have remained strong and solid, and they've told us, we are not going away. We have no intention of losing this. We're going to fight this out to the finish, because if we are destroyed, this Chentex union, as the strongest and most militant union in Nicaragua, if we are destroyed, the labor movement in Nicaragua is over. And it's going to have very big implications for all of Central America, if not beyond, in the Caribbean. So they've decided to draw the line in the sand. And what they've been doing in Nicaragua is they've been building alliances with other groups that they in the past didn't work with, like religious groups, more human rights groups, even students. So in some sense, what's taking place, whether people know about this campaign or not, what's taking place is this is really the follow-up to Seattle. And it's not with the mouth, and it's not with abstractions. The follow-up to Seattle is going to be fought out in Managua, and it's going to be fought out with workers and human rights groups and religious groups on the ground in Managua. And what they're asking for is the accompaniment of the American people, since Kohl's and the rest of them sell their products here. So what we've done is we've taken several delegations down there to Nicaragua. We went with members of UNITE, the Apparel Workers Union, the Steel Workers Union, United Steelworkers of America, with Congressman Sherrod Brown from Ohio, with students from United Students Against Sweatshops. We went back again with a religious delegation led by Bishop Thomas Gummelton, a Roman Catholic from Detroit, Sisters of St. Francis from Milwaukee, Sisters of Sacred Heart. And on the last trip down there, which was only about 2 or 3 weeks ago, the government said that we were deported and we can never return to Nicaragua again, that the bishop and the nuns and the National Labor Committee were in Nicaragua to incite violence. I mean, this is how nutty they are. And since we were inciting violence, what we really did was we met with workers. We, of course, didn't incite any violence. We met with workers. So now we don't know what's going to happen. We're going to try to get back into Nicaragua in about a week or so. But they said in the newspapers, the government, that we were officially deported from the country and we're persons non grata and we can never again return to Nicaragua. So what we're planning to do is bring another delegation down on September 20th. And we're building that at this very minute. The meeting you saw when you came in is we did one tour with two workers from Nicaragua already. On the last trip, when they said we were deported, we returned with two workers from Nicaragua, union leaders and workers from Chentex and Milcolores. And we did a demonstration in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, where Kohl's was having one of its openings. And the steelworkers put that one together, and it was beautiful. There was like 7,500 people out in front of Kohl's leafleting at the very day the store was opening. And we obviously rained on their opening, got the message across, got all the local media. From there, we went out to Oregon, to Eugene, Oregon, where United Students Against Sweatshops was having a conference. And there wasn't a dry eye in the audience after the two women spoke from Nicaragua. And the students then and there committed themselves to working side by side with them. We'll accompany you. We are not letting these workers down. And so the meeting we just had was really a follow-up on this meeting we had with the students in Oregon. Then we went to Milwaukee to Kohl's headquarters and held demonstrations and press conferences, and we worked our way back across the country. Milwaukee, Detroit, Milwaukee, Chicago, Detroit, Toledo, Cleveland, New York, and we just kept having Kohl's demonstrations. And we told Kohl's that this is the shot across the bow. You ain't seen nothing yet. So what's happening now is we're making plans for a much bigger tour with much larger demonstrations in front of Kohl's. We're going to have two more of the women workers from Nicaragua with us. We're in discussions with Unite, the Power Workers Union, with the steel workers, with religious people across the country, with the students, even with high school students, with solidarity groups. And so I think Kohl's is going to have a problem. What we're saying to Kohl's is, look, you're not to pull out of Nicaragua because we want those jobs in Nicaragua. The workers need these jobs. It is a poor country, obviously. There's desperate unemployment. The country needs these jobs, but they're going to be jobs with dignity and justice. And therefore, Kohl's, you cannot pull out. You're going to keep the production in this factory, but you're going to tell this contract to Gentex. You're going to tell them that you demand respect for human and worker rights and the right to organize. You're going to demand that these workers, the fired workers, be immediately reinstated, that these bogus, ridiculous criminal charges be thrown out, and that the factory sits down and negotiates in good faith with the union, negotiates a contract that leads to a fair wage. Now, Kohl's says, oh, well, there's nothing we can do about it, because you see, we're just a helpless retailer, and Gentex, it's their factory, so we can't intervene. And, you know, we point out to people how stupid this is, because Kohl's, which is small in comparison to Walmart, Kohl's sales were $4.6 billion last year. Well, you know what the whole economic output of Nicaragua was last year was $2.2 billion. So the entire gross domestic product of the whole country, everything they produce came to $2.2 billion. In other words, Kohl's is more than twice as large as Nicaragua. So Kohl's has power. If Kohl's snapped its fingers, everybody has to jump through a hoop. And I think that a lot is at stake for the anti-sweatshop movement in the United States, because often the targets of the anti-sweatshop movement have been brilliant. The work's been fantastic all across the country. But sometimes the missing element is the workers not organizing. You've got workers that aren't going to turn back.
What's really sad to hear is the complicity of the Nicaraguan government.
This is a very right-wing, corrupt government. It's a government controlled by the corporations. The Ministry of Labor there, for example, has never done anything for the workers. And in fact, they're kind of afraid of the Ministry of Labor, because when you organize a union in Central America, what you first do is you have your meeting. You collect the names of the people who participated in the meeting, and then you elect a provisional union leadership. And the way you get your legal recognition and legal protection is you give those names to the Ministry of Labor, who then certifies the union. But what the Ministry of Labor frequently does is it doesn't certify the union, but it sends the names to the companies, and then the companies fire everybody. And so this is a big test. This campaign, these workers in Nicaragua and the campaign in the United States to accompany them, is going against not only this Taiwanese company, it's also going against the Nicaraguan government, the Kohl's, the Walmarts. It's quite a battle. It's quite a battle.
I remember you saying in one of your previous talks that the free trade zones, including the ones in Nicaragua, don't bring much revenue to the country itself.
Mm-hmm. When Kohl's or anyone else produces the jeans in these free trade zones, the material will enter Nicaragua duty-free, comes in without any tariffs. It goes into the free trade zone where none of the companies pay taxes. They don't pay income tax. They don't pay corporate tax. They don't even pay sales tax. In other words, they get a free ride subsidized by one of the poorest countries in the Western Hemisphere. They don't pay any taxes whatsoever. When the garment leaves the factory, it leaves the country tariff-free. And all that's left behind are the pitiful wages, which in Nicaragua, the base wage is about 30 cents an hour. By working extreme overtime and working as fast as you can, your piece rate, maybe you can get up to, you know, 40, 50 cents an hour. But so all they leave behind are the pitiful wages, not very little else. Now, members of the National Assembly in Nicaragua told us, in other words, Congress people, the head of the Human Rights Commission, the head of the Labor Rights Commission, they tried to enter the free trade zone. Now, this is their country. These are members of Congress showing up at the free trade zone who have responsibility for human rights and labor rights. And they asked to enter the free trade zone, and they were turned away. And the management said to them, of course, there were people with weapons and everything, but the managers they met with said, sorry, we cannot let you into the free trade zone. And they said, why not? This is our country. We're the Human Rights Commission of the National Assembly. We are congresspeople, deputies. They said, sorry, we cannot allow you to violate the rights of private property. So, I mean, these things actually are extraterritorial. I mean, it's really, if the American people could see this stuff, they'd be pretty shocked. This is going to be one of those watershed campaigns where so much is at stake. And I think we really got culls here, lying, paying starvation wages, tolerating this union busting, and using Pricewaterhouse as their whitewash or cover-up. I think we've got them. It's just going to be, do we have enough strength to push them hard enough to do the right thing?
How can people support this campaign?
Depending upon where people are, we're having, of course, letter-writing campaigns and call-in days and email days and all that, but we're going to be doing another tour, and we have planned some very aggressive demonstrations against Kohl's stores. So, for example, Kohl's headquarters is in Milwaukee. So we're probably going to start our tour in Minneapolis with some civil disobedience in Kohl's stores, big demonstrations, press conferences. Then we're going to go on to Milwaukee. And we're just going to work our way back across the country. And, for example, Kohl's is having several openings on Long Island on October 6th and 7th. Well, we're going to be there with a caravan of buses, school buses with students and religious people and labor people. And we're going to go on a caravan from Kohl's to Kohl's. Demonstrations, planes, billboards, moving billboards, good press work, good leafleting. We might leaflet the neighborhood of some of these people who own Kohl's and things like that, let their neighbors know how these rich people are making their money. And, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, there might be some civil disobedience. So, like, if it's in areas where this campaign's coming through, like, say, from Minneapolis back to the New York, then, of course, that's fantastic to get involved in the campaign. If it's outside of that area, there's plenty of letters that can be written to Kohl's and phone calls. Or we find people who are invested in Kohl's, like on the West Coast and places like that. Or people go up to Target, because Target is the same. It's just that in any campaign, you have to pick and focus on one of the retailers. You can't take them all on at once. When you win one, you move on to the others. But we'd be glad to talk to anybody about that kind of stuff. I mean, they could call us anytime. We learn. I mean, how you learn this stuff is you learn from people across the country.
You know, listening to you, I have the feeling that this is not just an emergency action, but this is a great opportunity to bring to light what the real relationships are between the clothes we wear and the people and conditions under which they're made.
Yeah, absolutely. It is an emergency situation in the sense, obviously, that there are hundreds of workers in Nicaragua fired and many of them blacklisted, which means that they're suffering real bad. So in that sense, we also have a fund to raise money for these families so that we can at least keep the union families alive with the union leaders, because we need to take this to the Supreme Court in Nicaragua. We need to fight this government. So in that sense, yes, this is a desperate crisis where families are really suffering because they're trying to defend their basic dignity. And we're attuned to that, and we actually have raised a little bit of money, and we need to raise more, but we got that up on the website, and every single cent goes to Nicaragua. But in any work, great work is always done, I think, because you need it as badly as they need it. So in other words, it's pretty clear what's going on in Nicaragua. They were busted viciously because they try to put a couple of meals a week on the table for their family, for fighting for their dignity and for their legal rights. But I also think us in the United States, too, the anti-sweatshop movement, like Seattle was so impressive. It was such a privilege to be there. But in some ways, we shouldn't hold our heads up high if we let these people go under because words are one thing. Working with workers in the developing world and in the United States is another. And so I do see this as a drawing the line in the sand. Now, it's very risky because nothing succeeds like success. If this campaign is won in the United States, the anti-sweatshop movement becomes that much stronger, that much more visible. And, of course, what you're talking about are coalitions. You're talking about a coalition of students, religious, labor like Unite, the steelworkers and others. You talk about solidarity groups. I mean, a tremendous alliance is building in the United States. So I think just as desperately as they need this victory in Nicaragua, and if they don't win, the labor movement's finished, so that struggle's one of desperation. The labor movement will be set back for 10 years in Nicaragua if this is not won. I look at it pretty much the same in the United States. If we cannot rise to a challenge that's this clear, if we let this Chentex Union and the workers in Nicaragua go under, then the message is out to all of Central America and Latin America. This is Ronald Reagan, Patco time, destroy everything in sight, clear out the unions before the CBI parity trade bill comes in, and no one's going to say a word. So, like, no one chose this battle, but it's here, and it's going to be a big fight. If we beat Coles, this coalition across the country working with these Nicaraguan unions and human rights groups, if we can push Coles to do the right thing, to call for the immediate reinstatement of those workers, sit down and negotiate with the union, sign a contract with a fair wage, every other retailer is going to get the message. I mean, if you win one retailer, everybody gets the message. They're all watching. They know what's going on. And so a victory against one is a victory against all. So this thing is huge.
That was Charles Kernighan, recorded in the office of the National Labor Committee in New York in early September 2000. And in late-breaking news, the delegation of church and union members did indeed depart for Nicaragua on September 20th. But Charles Kernighan was not allowed into the country. The rest of the delegation continued to Managua. Look for more details on the website of the National Labor Committee at www.nlcnet.org. That's nlcnet.org. You can get a 45-minute audio tape of this conversation with Charles Kernighan for $12. If you don't have access to the website, ask us to send you the 5 most recent pages of information at no extra cost. We hope that you feel moved to get involved. For a credit card order, call toll-free at 1-877-TUC-TAPE. That's 877-TUC-TAPE. Or send your $12 check to TUC Radio, Box 410009, San Francisco, California, 94141. That's TUC Radio, Box 410009, San Francisco, California, 94141, USA. TUC Radio's website is www.tucradio.org. My name is Maria Gilarden. Thank you for listening.